first with a throw rug, and that didn't work. And then he just, when you're desperate with someone you love, you just do what you, what, whatever. And he tried to use his hands to put it out, and he was severely burned in the process. And Fanny, horribly burned, slipped into a coma, and the next day she died. Longfellow was so badly injured that he couldn't even attend Fanny's funeral. And he was, of course, devastated. His first wife had died 30 years before in childbirth. And now this young lady that he had pursued, the love story is very sweet. He had pursued her for a long time, and she played hard to get. And they had a wonderful, loving marriage. And he was, of course, devastated. So much so that for the next three Christmases, he was not able to write his annual Christmas poem, which had become his personal tradition. He had gotten to the point where he was no longer a professor as he had been. He was making enough money off his writings that he was a professional author. And one of the things he did every year was write a Christmas poem. And for him, there was a marked lack of peace that he had once savored during the Christmas season. And then to deepen his despair, even more was the fact that the Civil War, which had begun just 3 months before Fanny's death, was raging through the nation. In just a month before this particular Christmas, in November of 1863, his son, who had run off to the army and was in the cavalry, was gravely wounded in the Battle of Hope Church in Virginia. And Longfellow traveled to Washington, D.C. to care for his son as he slowly recovered from his nearly fatal wounds. So Henry Wadsworth Longfellow had been through a lot. But then finally, on Christmas Day of 1864, Longfellow determined to resume his Christmas tradition with words that you almost certainly recognize. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black, accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Longfellow was grieving and exhausted and frightened, but he was not hopeless. Because he had peace. His God, who is our God, is not dead, and he does not sleep, and that sin will be defeated, and righteous will be victorious, and God's people will enjoy peace forevermore. At Christmas time, In this season of Advent, we celebrate Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who came into the world to bring perfect peace. We don't have a civil war raging as Longfellow did, but in some ways, we're not far from it. With the division we have in our nation and with bloody conflicts across the world needs peace, and it needs the Prince of Peace. We have peace. As his followers, we have peace. The refrain of a hymn puts it like this: peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Very powerful, picturesque language. If those waves, those billows of love, bringing wonderful peace, if they're so fathomless, that means there's plenty of it to go around. We need to carry it to a culture torn with strife. So let's look at it. And the text that Sheila read addresses God with, "You keep him and her in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." That's from the ESV. So we have perfect peace. And what is that? Well, in Hebrew, the term we have translated here in Isaiah 26:3 as perfect peace is actually shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. This is because in Hebrew, repetition communicates intensity. It isn't just shalom, it's shalom, shalom, perfect peace, peace. And that song that Jeffrey taught us in the VBS, shalom, shalom, shalom. I just realized we kept singing it over again, the intensity that the kids learned that they were just singing yesterday, okay? Talks about intensity. And we do this sometimes in English, when I'm particularly pleased with something, I'll explain, good, good. It's not just good, it's doubly good. On our, or a birthday greeting sent by a loved one that says, happy, happy, or happy, happy birthday, so that your happiness is compounded. Or like our neighbor, Roger, who lives right up the street next to Joe and Cindy, he'll often greet me. I'm walking by. Hi, Roger. He'll say, howdy, howdy. Howdy, howdy. Not just one hi, but a howdy, howdy. And I just love that. In fact, I say hi to Roger just to hear that. But these examples pale in comparison to what it is to have what Paul calls the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. The peace of God is what only comes from God, and only his kids, us, can comprehend it. F.B. Meyer says this of the double peace that we call perfect peace. He says, "Understand, dear soul, that it is thy privilege to live inside the double doors of God's loving care." He says to thee, peace, peace. If one assurance is not enough, he will follow it with a second and a third. That's good. The double doors of God's love. More on what the Hebrew concept of peace is in a bit, when we actually get to Paul's words from 2 Thessalonians. But let me finish out this coverage of peace in Isaiah 26 with this. Perfect peace is a matter of the mind. F.B. Meyer, who, as we just saw, uses picturesque language, goes on to say that in having a mind stayed on God and trusting in him is God's double doors against the intrusion on the soul of a single note of alarm or fear. In other words, when you're afraid, put your mind on God. When you're afraid, put your mind on God and put your mind to rest. Now, I know that's easier said than done, okay? I know that it's easier said than done, but it's true. Peace comes when our minds are on the Lord because we trust in him. It's like this. Faith and faithfulness are inseparable. You can trust God. In fact, in verse 4, which Sheila also read, we read, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. Larry Norman sang, he's the rock that never rolls. And he doesn't. He doesn't ever roll. He doesn't ever give way. He's our strong rock. Commentator David Guzik writes, to be kept in this perfect peace is a matter of our mind. This isn't so much a matter of our spirit or of our soul or of our heart. It is a matter of our mind. We are to love the Lord with all our mind. Matthew 22:37. We are transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans 12:2. We can have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16 and Philippians 2:5. We are not to set our mind on earthly things, but to set our mind on things above. Colossians 3:2. Excuse me. The Christian life is not an unthinking life of just doing or experiencing, but it is also about thinking. And where we set our mind is essential to our walk before the Lord. It's not just a brainless exercise. It takes our mind. Set your mind on the provision of God and trust in him, and you will know peace. And then we move to Paul's blessing from 2 Thessalonians. Let me read it to you. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. Paul's signing off at the end of his letter here. And he needed to say this because he was pointing out a crying need that was then for perfect peace, right down to now on December 10th, 2023. We need peace in the body of Christ. Paul was addressing peace in the body of Christ then, which was probably something like 52 AD, one of the first letters written. And now on December 10th, we need it too. Let the church exhibit grace and peace. The angels sang to the shepherds, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace among those with whom he is well pleased. He's talking about us. He's talking about his church. He's talking about his called out ones. Now, we need to go back to the first letter to the Thessalonians that Paul wrote to make this point. Paul begins his first letter to the Thessalonians with, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. This was a new greeting that Paul seems to have introduced into the church. Leon Morris, commentator Leon Morris writes, among Greeks, peace was a negative concept, as it often is with us. It means the absence of war. But for the Hebrews, as I've already pointed out, the term was positive. When a Hebrew said, peace be to you, he did not mean, I hope you won't get in a fight, but rather, I pray that you may prosper. The Hebrew word shalom meant prosperity in the widest sense. The root of shalom is concerned with wholeness. The person who enjoys peace is thus the one whose life is well-rounded. Peace was seen as a gift of God, and it is. There is a definitely spiritual aspect of the completeness that shalom brings here. So to greet someone with shalom, or with grace and peace, as Paul did with the blessing of, now may the God of peace give you peace at all times in every way, that's a prayer for complete wholeness and completeness and goodness. Remember that when you hear the word shalom. Paul refers to the God of peace, and this is the only time he does it in his letters here in our passage for today. But as you read this second letter to the Thessalonians, you will know that he has been addressing throughout the letter a very evident and very unhappy division in the church. He's reminding them that the Lord they serve is a God of peace, and those who serve him should be known by the fact that they are his people, and therefore people of peace. And at the same time, remember what Paul's idea of peace is. It's the Hebrew concept that peace means more than just the absence of strife. It means prosperity in the completest sense. And here is a reminder that comes only as the gift of God. We can only have peace from God. In the case of grace and peace as a greeting, it's very obvious that peace is only available through grace. In a strife-torn world, the discord has even invaded the church. We have people who call themselves Christians fighting among themselves. Can we not, as the people of God, at the very least, live at peace amongst ourselves? This is my Christmas wish. We are followers of the Prince of Peace. So let's be at peace with one another. There's just so much airing of dirty laundry. The division is disheartening, to say the least. Maybe the issue that we've forgotten that peace came through Jesus, and peace still comes through Jesus. Remember the angel song? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace isn't just something that happens sometimes. For the Christ follower, it is always a part of who we are. It's the idea of a peace that is present. No matter how the circumstances change, peace is what we are when we are in communion with the Prince of Peace. So come what may, no matter what, any change in that, which is an outward thing, can interfere with the Christ follower's deep-seated peace. This is because a Christ follower's peace is never independent of the Lord. It is always dependent on the Lord. He's a God of peace. Paul says he is the Lord of peace. And so we are to be people of peace. And that means that peace wasn't just for shepherds in the fields watching their flocks. It's still for us for all time. And he prays that Jesus will give peace to his followers at all times and in every way. So let me briefly wrap this up, and I can do it with some words from the hymn that I referenced as I began this talk. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away. Picturesque language. Nothing can mine the peace away from us, can dig it away from us. While the years of eternity roll, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. Ah, soul, are you here without comfort and rest, marching down the rough pathway of time? Make Jesus your friend, ere the shadows grow dark. Oh, accept this sweet peace sublime. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. If you know that peace so sublime that it rolls like waves of the sea, then live it and share it. If you don't know that peace, because maybe Jesus isn't the Lord of your life, he's the Lord of peace, so you can have that peace. So don't wait. Know it now, because it's only through Jesus that you can truly have peace. Really, it's the only way. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.